So what we're going to look at this morning is anger, abuse, and ungodly character. Okay, and we're going to look at it from the perspective of I am angry, or from the perspective of I have to endure anger. And in the context of abuse, we're going to look at it from I am abusive, or I have had to endure abuse. And then if we've still got time this morning, we will then move on to ungodly character. If we haven't, then we'll carry that over for another session. Okay, so the definition of anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility, vexation, exasperation, irritation, indignation, and resentment. Anger is rooted in unforgiveness. Anger is birthed as a result of careful York tea. Sorry about that. Just had to avoid a little accident. Anger is birthed as a result of ungodly responses. Anger can be used to control and manipulate. And anger parents with the demonic realm to open doors to many things. Anger often lies just beneath the surface of our emotions and takes very little to surface. Okay, so the other thing I just want to say is that anger does not always look like shouting and screaming and stamping your feet. Okay? There can be a level of rage that actually bubbles under the surface that is contained, and where sometimes we see the outworking of anger in, you know, the shouting and screaming. And in fact, for the person holding that anger, that's a healthier response for the person than the rage that bubbles underneath the surface and goes inwardly. But effectively, both of those will cause damage to us and others at some point. So anger is an emotion that is easily triggered. And when we've partnered with anger in our lives, it can be easy to recognize by the response being totally disproportionate to the trigger. Okay? So if you're responding to something in a way that makes no sense, if your internal emotions to a situation or a person or a circumstance makes no sense to what is being displayed, then inside you will find some anger that needs to be dealt with. And when we've partnered with anger, what happens is we have little or no control over our feelings of annoyance, displeasure, hostility, exasperation, irritation, indignation, resentment. So, for all of us, where we have partnered with this demonic entity, it will manifest in a different way. In some instances, it actually functions and partners with a spirit of isolation. And so what happens is we get angry about something, and we, instead of, because if we're a confronter and we get angry with something, we will deal with the issue, we'll confront the issue. If we're not a confronter, then actually we'll deal with it in a different way. And we'll deal with it in a way that is isolating. We'll deal with it in a way which is kind of, could be withdrawal, could be, you know, in the context of marriages often, where, you know, one party will withdraw from an argument rather than address any issue. But that in itself is a level of control. All of so anger and control work together. And one of the things that happens with when we partner with anger is that we need to be in control, because that's the only place that we can feel safe. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some of the ways in which we can dismantle this thing so that we can start to move into a place of freedom. So anger can be something that we display towards others, or anger can be something that we suffer at the hands of others. And in one instance, we're the perpetrator of the anger, and we're gonna have a session where we look at that. And in another instance, we can be the recipient of anger, and we're gonna have a look at that. And for lots of people, there's an element of both of those in our lives. So we're gonna go through those two aspects kind of bit by bit.
So how does godly anger manifest? So the things that the symptoms here is godly anger.
Yeah.
So there must be a godly anger. And how does that's not damaging? That doesn't lie underneath.
Okay. Do you know how this is my personal, how I separate the two? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have learned that I used to use godly anger as an excuse. And actually what it did was it was actually all my anger. Okay? What I've learned is that the Lord now let me go back a bit. So I was Mrs. Angry, as I think you can testify to. Okay. So anger for me was probably one of the most controlling demonic entities over my life. And I had very little rest from the anger. It was always there. It just simmered under the surface. And at a moment's notice, I could flip my lid. God now enables me to feel his godly anger towards something, and it is completely different to anger. Okay. Anger that ties you up in knots inside is your issue. It's your stuff. Okay. Anger that taps into an emotional response in you is your stuff. Okay? When God gives us godly anger, it feels completely different for a start. Okay? It comes up inside of you and it makes you pay whatever price to stop that thing happening, but it isn't about you. Do you understand? So let's take what's happening in Calais. Okay, so what God does is he will release a godly anger in people that make them angry at what is happening to those people, to such an extent that they'll get in their car and go to Calais and do something about it. That's the result of godly anger. Okay. But when people throw a temper tantrum and they say, this is godly anger, and it doesn't propel them to change that thing, I would question whether that was godly anger or whether that was actually just a platform for them to throw their toys out the cot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It is. Absolutely. Exactly. And it's released within us because it in itself propels us out of our comfort zone, out of our, you know. So you listen to the news and you hear about Calais and you think, that is terrible. Okay? But then the Lord stirs something inside of you and he releases that anger in you to that situation. Now you're gonna move from a passive state into an active state, whatever that looks like. Whether it's gonna be get in your car, whether it's gonna be fast, whether it's gonna be go into the prayer room, and whether it's gonna be go into the spirit, and whatever it is, we are gonna do something about it rather than just look at that thing and think, isn't that terrible? Okay. But our anger, when we use the cover of this is godly indignation, this is godly rage, this should never happen. it's a cover when actually you can feel it tapping into your own stuff. Okay, so God uses me now with godly anger around things, but only around things that I've been healed in. So it presents no, it doesn't press any of my buttons personally. But I'm feeling his anger towards the situation or what's happening to his people or his anger at the lack of love or whatever it is, there's a total disconnect. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And you will always find a key that is unforgiveness. Always. So, because we're angry about that thing because we haven't let go of it. So when we let go of it, we allow the Lord to come and heal us, then actually things can shift and change. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're going to... So what we're going to do now is we're going to make some space for the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us about things that we need to deal with. And the first thing we're going to look at is where we have been the perpetrator of anger. And I just want to address any illusions for any people who think that they are unaffected by this. Okay? Most people think they're unaffected by anger because they have an expectation of what anger looks like and they don't behave like that. But actually, any bit of unforgiveness that we hold will the result of that will be a level of anger somewhere inside of us. And we may have learned how to cover that up, or we may have learned how to control it to an extent, but actually it will always cloud our ability to hear, our ability to function, and the authority that we carry for kingdom things. So the Father wants to root it out. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us if we use anger to control people. So one of the ways in which we do this is where we isolate ourselves from somebody. we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where this anger is rooted. So he might remind you of an incident, or he might show you a picture of something that you don't even understand. But just go with it. Just allow him to show you what he's showing you. Now we're going to ask him if it is rooted in your generational line as well. So for those of you who feel that there's a generational root, we're just going to pray through that. So Father, I thank you for my ancestors. And I thank you for the good things I have received from them. And I bless them for the good things they have deposited in my life. And now I look at all the negative things, all the curses, and I put the blood of Jesus between me and my ancestors. And I nail anger, control, isolation, and fear to the cross. I break agreement with those things in my life, and I tell them to go now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Father, we recognize that where anger or the sin of anger and the things around it have come down the generational line, we are predisposed to that. And as we've broken the curses, we ask that you come now and you lift the effects of these things off our DNA. And we ask that you rewire our thinking. And now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where we have used anger. Which relationships have we used anger in to control? And that may be the need to keep yourself safe. Maybe all sorts of different reasons. Now we're going to deal with those things that he's showing us. We're going to repent for our anger and our judgment of those people and those circumstances. And we're going to forgive. Father, I repent for where I have used anger as my safety mechanism instead of you. I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. I repent for where I have partnered with anger. I repent for where I have used anger to control and manipulate in whatever way. I repent for where I have opened the door to Jezebel in my life by allowing anger to operate in my life. And I now break all connection with anger. And I break all identification with anger. Where I've taken on board as my anger, I no longer want it. And I nail it to the cross. I break agreement with anger in my life. I break the power it has over me and the consequences in my life. And I tell anger to go now in Jesus' name. Now we're going to look at what it looks like when we are the recipient. So we're going to ask Holy Spirit to show us if we have suffered from the anger of others. We're going to forgive them for the pain they have caused us. We're going to repent for our judgment. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and heal the pain. So, Father, I repent for where I have judged those who have displayed anger towards me. I repent for where I have held unforgiveness in my heart towards them. I forgive them now. I repent for where I've opened the door to Jezebel in my life by partnering with the anger directed towards me and submitting to it. I now bring judgment, unforgiveness, anger, control, fear, and isolation, and I nail them to the cross. I break agreement with them in my life. I break the power they've had over me and the consequences in my life. And where I have given control of my life to anger, I choose today to take it back. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and remove all intimidation, fear, and control from my life. Where I have given authority to these things by coming under the anger that was directed towards me, I choose to come out from under this anger. And because of your blood, Jesus, I have the power to break this in my life. I declare that I am the head and not the tail. I come out from under these things and I nail their power to the cross. I break agreement with it and the power it has over my life. And I declare I am free from the control of anger. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you heal me. Where coming under that anger has impacted my identity. Where I have allowed someone else's anger to make me feel less significant, less worthy, less lovable. And less than who you made me to be. I repent for believing those lies. I declare they are lies. And I forgive them. And today I step into my new identity, my true identity. I am significant. I am worthy. I am loved by you, my King. I am all that you made me to be. And I ask that you restore my thinking to come into alignment with my true identity. And now we're going to look at abuse. So the definition of abuse is cruel or violent treatment of a person. So firstly, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you if you have been the recipient of abuse. We know that by holding on to unforgiveness, it stops us from being healed. So we choose to release forgiveness. Father, thank you that as we forgive, you set us free. I ask you, Jesus, to break every pattern that has been established over my life by allowing abuse to take place. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to minister into my thinking and to break me free from every mindset that has come into agreement with abuse in my life. I demolish every stronghold to do with abuse in my life. And in Jesus' name, I tell abuse to go. Now just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit. You were created to be loved. to be honored. To be cherished. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you have abused yourself. Where you've set yourself up for failure. Where you've isolated yourself. Just repent for what he's showing you. Now allow the Holy Spirit to lift off your thinking all the harshness that you direct at yourself. Because the Holy Spirit wants to release love inside of you, for you. That's the starting point to love others. So forgive yourself for all your shortcomings as you see them. They are lies. The Father doesn't see them. He doesn't have those expectations. Those expectations are a form of self-abuse. Let them go. Just allow the Father to love you. ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you might have abused others. Often as a result of your own brokenness or abuse towards you. So repent and receive your forgiveness. Father, I repent for where I have abused others. Your word says that all forms of oppression and injustice afflicted on those weaker than myself will invoke a curse. So where I have opened a door in my life, I ask you now to forgive me and close the door. And I bring abuse in all its format. And I nail it to the cross. I break agreement with it. And I break the power that it has over my life. And the consequences in my life. And I tell abuse to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for the restoration of the cross. Ask you now to release that restoration in my life. All the things I've forgiven, all the things I've repented of, all the things I've turned away from, where that sin and those demonic entities have changed my thinking, changed my identity. I invite you to restore my thinking, restore my identity. Father, I seek your affirmation and your affirmation alone. I thank you that in your eyes I am awesome. So please release that revelation into my spirit now. That will forever change me.
Thank you.